such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Wow, that is really loud, isn't it?
Yeah, it does sound loud.
That's okay. Anyway, but everything's okay from that
Everything's
end.
Great. All right,
okay,
check,
good.
Check, everything's
right.
Good.
So this will wake me up, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, welcome everybody. I am Father Anthony, and I am your brother, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. Today is a feast. Technically, today is a feast of the Ascension of our Lord into heaven, and although it's often celebrated on Sunday, and also today is May the 13th, so this is the first day of the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary to the children in Fatima in 1917. So that's a little over 100 years ago. So we might talk about a little bit of both.
Well, is today a day of obligation, or do we celebrate on Sunday?
It's because we have the option. It's it's not technically a day of obligation because we'll celebrate it on Sunday. In parishes where they do not celebrate on Sunday, it would be a holy day of obligation. Yeah, but Ascension is, and the Ascension is actually it's Jesus' return to the Father, 40 days after the resurrection, and then there's the 9-day period from the Ascension to Pentecost, when the apostles are in the company of the Blessed Virgin Mary in prayer, awaiting the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is officially, we would call that the birthday
of
the church. Yeah, so I'm going to go back a little bit to where we were the other day. I think it was a little bit confusing, but I read the reflection from the Liturgy of the Hours on the Feast of the Ascension by St. Augustine, and you know, if I confused you the other day, we can confuse you a bit more.
More, yeah.
But it is interesting because I was reflecting on this, and within the context of what it means within the context of prayer, and so maybe we'll just kind of unpack some of that. But let's speaking of prayer, let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother Most Pure,
pray for us.
Mother Most Chaste,
pray for us.
Mother Inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother Undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother Most Amiable,
pray for us.
Mother Most Admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of Good Counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of Justice,
pray for us.
Seat of Wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our Joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual Vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of Honor,
pray for us.
Singular Vessel of Devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical Rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of Ivory,
pray for us.
House of Gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the Covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of Heaven,
pray for us.
Morning Star,
pray for us.
Health of the Sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of Sinners,
pray for us.
Comfort of the Afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of Angels,
pray for us.
Queen of Patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of Prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of Apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of Martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of Confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of Virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of All Saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of the Family,
pray for us.
Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, it takes away the takest away the sins of the world,
spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, it takest away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Incarnate Word, despise not our petition, but in thy mercy, hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, everybody, welcome. It's not Friday, TGIF. It's, how do we used to say that? Thank God it's almost, yeah, TGAIF.
It's almost Friday.
Thanks. Yeah. Okie doke. So I want to go back to what I was speaking about Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just kind of try to unpack this. I tried to tweak it a little bit to try to make it more understandable to myself, mm-hmm. you know, so that it might be understandable to others. So just kind of follow me on this again, and then I'll share with you the reading, try to get to the reading of St. Augustine, because it is, it's about the, that Jesus who ascended into heaven, descends from heaven. And I found it interesting because I think it might give a little bit of insight into the nature of our prayer, because the reality is that we are in the exile. We are not home. We're on the way. We're moving in one direction. And we've always got to think about that. You know, we've always got to keep that before us, that we are pilgrims on a journey. So we constantly, you know, we're looking always for this happiness in this life, and it's not going to be there. There'll be happiness and joy, no doubt, thank God, but there's always going to be a discontentment, always an unrest as we make our way through life. And as I say so often, every day there's an attack to the mind, the body, the soul, or the spirit, to one degree or another, every day. Every day. I don't know that anybody can deny that. We're always a little bit conflicted, right? But our solace, our solitude, our peace comes in really knowing God. That's why it's so important that we nurture intimacy with God and believe that we can attain to an intimacy with the Lord, but it's an intimacy that is experienced in the exile, because we are separated, and yet God is with us, closer to us than we are to ourselves. But anyway, going back to the other day, I started with the question: have you ever thought yourself as to be as being a stranger,
strange.
As if, you know, we're living in a sphere that seems, by tradition, so normal to us, but viewed as abnormal today by others. And the fact that we're affected by the world we live in, then we wonder, you know, what... And it seems that people just get on with life without any... problems or issues, it seems on the surface, you know, and yet have no relationship with God, kind of live on a rather superficial plane, you know, it's kind of shallow, superficial, and are totally content with that. And here, many of us, you know, we're grappling with the mysteries of it all, the mysteries of the faith. You can be in a crowd of people, you can be with the family, you can be with coworkers, you can be with friends, and yet you feel quite alone, not really known, not really understood. And if so, you know, welcome to Catholicism. The scripture says we are in the world, but not of the world. Today, the more we're in the world, the more we feel like strangers in a foreign land. This is a biblical reality. We've been called to stand apart, to bear witness to deeper realities and noble things, to live in faith with virtue and valor. That this is all still important to some of us, right? The faith, virtue, valor, in a society that has become more vulgar, more disoriented, more confused, or creating more disorder, it seems to me. But in any case, our faith in Christ is full of these, as I said the other day, these seeming contradictions. I use a word, the faith seems like a riddle of sorts. And while the answers are made known to us, we nonetheless expend energy struggling to the questions, the doubts, the confusions, and of course, the mystery of it all. I think you mentioned last week about the simple believers or those who have a real simplicity, because some people really, they just have that childlike trust.
Yeah.
And they don't feel themselves to be in conflict, or they certainly suffer, because nobody does not. I mean, there's no one who does not suffer, but they have that that childlike faith, which is a saintly faith, really, whereby they're able to, you know, just entrust all things to God, put their trust in God, and just get on with life one day at a time, and. They go to Mass, they pray, they work, and it's, I envy those people.
Yeah, it's when I'm in the presence of people like that, even myself, I tend to want to learn more than before. You know, when you think about, like you're saying, there's people that are just go through life and you don't think about it, then you start thinking about it, then you start trying to learn. But when I'm around people that, and I think simple is probably the best way to describe it, but not simple. You know, you can almost use the word simple as just somebody that doesn't know, that is a robot, or just listens and doesn't think. But no, I mean simply as in you can almost sense that there's a deep faith, there's a deep belief, and it's not something you can really sit and debate. You know how you can ask people, right. Well, why do you, you know, we have a tendency today, too, when you want to know something, you're just bombarded with questions, and then you don't understand. I have a friend like that at work who's always asking me about faith, but he's so over-analytical that there's always got to be a reason for something.
Right.
But then I long for, in using that example, talking to somebody like that, you're constantly at the point of, well, this is what I believe, and you can't really explain it. It's something you live, you think, you believe, you know, it's like that. But being around people that, you know, it's just, you see it in their actions, you see it in their demeanor, you see it. It's almost like if you could sit there, it just oozes out of them. If that's a...
Well,
you want that. You want that. When you think of joy, and joy is like that, you can't really describe it sometimes, but you know somebody that has it. But they can't really tell you. You just feel it. You're in the presence of it. If that's a better way of saying it, I think.
Sure. The joy part is a part that I always struggle with. But
right.
Did I mention it last the other day about Mother Teresa and John Paul II? Mm-hmm. You know, I saw in both of them deep sorrow at the same time.
Describe it to somebody. You can't. You just got to know it because you're in the presence, right?
But there's a lot of people who have really suffered in life, and for all that they've suffered, they have that interior peace because they've learned to put their faith and their trust in God, and to accept the cross, whatever cross it may be. Or whatever cross may come, they anticipate, you know, whatever may come, and it's just, you know, they leave it in God, leave everything to God. God will see me through, and I believe that, you know, many of us do that, but I think when we're in the work of life, or I said that I might have said this the other day. Monday's my worst day of the week. Monday and Tuesday, because I'm trying to put together. And this is what I was going over on Tuesday, and I'm still grappling with this. Although it's done because I have a deadline to meet, but I just want to see that it makes sense. But it's because I'm in a position where I have to, as a priest, I have an obligation to convey to others the faith. Teach the faith, and so I'm trying. So I'm having and knowing the questions that are out there, or the lack of belief, or the doubts that so many people have. So many people bring these things to me, or they have questions, and I enjoy engaging in conversation, but as I'm looking at sacred scripture. I mean, in some ways, I wish I didn't have to do this, mm-hmm. in the sense that I could just live the faith and not have to, like the people who, if you sit down, like you said, they ooze the faith.
Yeah.
They emanate the faith. They have that that simplicity. They have that peace. They have the even in their in their sufferings. And we always speak of suffering, it's because I'm inundated with the sufferings of people, whether it be mental, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual, whether it be material.
Yeah.
There's always something going on, and those who do find God, who do nurture relationship with Christ, it's not that God becomes a crutch, but truly becomes the balm of Gilead, the ointment that soothes the pain of their life. It's as they come to the realization that they're not alone, that God is within them. God is with them, and that God will see them through. And I would say this to myself too, and I think many of you would feel the same way. I can't imagine myself without faith, yeah. without faith in God. I can't imagine, even as I'm grasping, and when it comes to having to prepare a homily or prepare a letter to communicate the faith, sometimes I think I get a little bit complicated because I'm being, as you use the word, over analytical. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking too much, but I'm trying to address the deeper questions that some people are asking.
Right.
Apart from those who don't need to ask the question because they've already, the answer suffices for them. Mm-hmm. And that answer is what? But that they have a living relationship with God. And so they don't, they're the ones who, in a sense, and I say this often too, they just, you know, just throw yourself into the mystery and, it goes back to the when the disciples, they leave Jesus because he's explaining what is inexplicable, what mm-hmm. can't be explained, and that is that eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you will have life in you. This is after he fed the 5,000, and they ate and they were satisfied, and he says, You've eaten, you're satisfied, but you're going to die nonetheless. But I give you food to eat that will endure unto eternity. Eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you will have life in you. And the disciples, it's very clear in the scripture, his disciples, not the apostles, but the disciples, he said, well, what is this? What are you talking about? What does this mean? How can you give us your flesh to eat and your blood to drink? And he just repeats in that pericope, in that passage, six times. I think it's five or six times. Mm-hmm. He just repeats it over and over. Eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you will have life in you, life unto eternity. And because you can't explain something that it's, this is the great, what we call it, the sacred mystery mm-hmm. of our faith, the hidden manna, the mysterious food made known to us but unknown to others, the Holy Eucharist, food for the journey that we not collapse, that Jesus reproduces life in us. We become what we consume. But those the disciples, they said, this is intolerable teaching. Who can withstand this teaching? It doesn't make any sense. And they walk away. They said, we can no longer be in the company of this man. Now, these were his disciples. And so he looked at the 12, knowing that one would betray him, and he says to them, do you wish to go as well? And Peter said, Lord, where do we go? You know, we don't have the answers. We don't understand. This is beyond us, but we believe you have the words of everlasting life, and we choose to stay with you. And so I think there are those people who have that beautiful faith where they don't need to have it explained to them, mm-hmm. or they don't need to overthink it. They just put their faith in Jesus. Jesus, mercy, I trust in you. And that's, you know, the message of the divine mercy, right? Jesus, mercy, I trust in you. Put your trust in me, and I'll get you through. On the other hand, there are those who do search for the deeper answers, or they want to determine this. What does this mean? And inevitably, it could be the cause of a deepening of the faith for them, or it could be the cause of them going away from the faith if they don't get an answer that suffices for themselves.
There's a mystery right there, you know, when you think about it. It's like, and you hear this about people, or you think about somebody, if there's somebody you know who is overly, you know, they're into the faith and they're very, I don't know if this is scrupulous. Is that what you said?
Scrupulous.
And they, you know, there's no, it drives you almost to that extreme. And I guess in reality, there's a middle ground where you get to the point where it's like it oozes from you. You just accept.
Yeah, scrupulosity is a spiritual sickness. Mm-hmm. It's where you, and you got to remember, you know, if I speak of the demonic as being the devil, being a seducer, a deceiver, mm-hmm. He creates the illusion. He's a father of lies, a prince of darkness, a prince of this world. He's also the accuser, and so people. The scrupulosity is a spiritual sickness that is, you know, where people they live as if any little deviation or what they deem to be a deviation will estrange them from God, or that God would. It's almost as if the understanding of the image they have of God is that God is he's examining the individual under a microscope and looking for any kind of flaw, mm-hmm. any kind of deviation, any blemish. In other words, it's like unless you're perfect, you're not worthy of me.
Right.
Well, we're never going to be worthy of God, and we're never going to be perfect, right? So there is the beauty of the faith is that God doesn't wait for our perfection. Jesus redeemed us. He cried from the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And so to refuse his gracious generosity in laying down his life in order to win us back to himself would be, in other words, and that's the message of the divine mercy, that no matter how steeped in sin, I stand here waiting. So Jesus did say, if you deny me, I will deny you. And so people, even in their doubts or their questioning, or their confusion, they might think that they're denying Jesus, but they're not. They're trying to decipher the mystery of it all. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's a good thing. I mean, if you've got that simple faith that, you know, where you don't have to question. We're saying that's a beautiful thing, you know. Mm-hmm. But you come to that that relationship by the grace of God, and much of it comes from what you've suffered in life. People who suffer, because God is very close to those who suffer. And they learn to find solace in Christ and to stay with him, because that's where their solace and consolation and strength and peace and even joy comes. And these are people who are able to peer into eternity, really. This is a very important thing, is to and that's a little bit of what I was trying to get at here too in this little exposition that I was preparing. Is it, we're in the world but not of the world. This is not our home. We're going home. We were not meant to be here forever. We were created by God, for God, and on the lifelong journey, it is a journey. We are pilgrims, wayfarers. We're going somewhere. We're on the way. And so we are committed to life, and we hold ourselves responsible for what we should do, but we we don't settle in, so to speak. You know, we know that all this is passing away, and we're going to pass away as well. And so we look to the homeland. We peer into eternity. We anticipate what awaits us, but not fearfully. There's a natural fear, but we're not overwhelmed by the fear of the unknown. What we come to know is that, as Jesus says, don't be afraid, be at peace. I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm not going to leave you orphans. I go that I remain with you. And so that's as we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension. He goes, but he remains with us. He's with us. He remains with us in the Word of God and in the Holy Sacraments, and most especially in the Holy Eucharist, where he really feeds us with himself in order to abide within us and to reproduce his life in us, so that we can take on the thinking of Jesus. We can see with his eyes. We can speak his words in his voice. When I say his voice, everybody's got a different voice, but there's something in the voice that conveys, as you said, you know, you use the word oozing with, I would say would emanate. You know, we want to emanate something deeper and more noble, more beautiful. That's why it just makes so much sense that because it is a struggle, but even in the struggle that we stay with him, because he's the artist, we're the work of his hands, and so he is the potter who molds the clay of our lives. So we daily we have to give ourselves to him in our brokenness, in our woundedness, in our sinfulness, our lack of perfection, because we're so far from perfect. But he condescends. He who has ascended continues to condescend in order to carry us through. And as he carries us, we carry each other. So he's working through his body, the church. Now, I feel like I'm all over the place here, but we do have to take a break. But the scrupulosity, going back to the scrupulosity, it's a spiritual sickness, and it's where you know one has to be told, you know, let go of that, you know, that kind of perfectionism. Yes, when this gospel says be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, it's being perfected. It's being, you know, we're in this purgation. Life is a purgative experience. And in this purgation, if we have the humility to cleave to Christ, then it's transformative. And as it's transformative, it's sanctifying, because it's so that we come to a place of solitude, so that I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to explain it all. Because what's sufficient? Can I remember this now? Saint Teresa, let nothing disturb thee, let nothing affright thee.
Yeah.
All things are passing; God never changes. Patient endurance attaineth to all things. Who God possesseth, and nothing is wanting. Alone God sufficeth. That God is sufficient. God is sufficient, and that brings solitude and peace as we make our way in exile through this world toward the homeland. So we don't want to really settle in to this life, because then we're going to expend energy trying to maintain gods that are not gods, right?
Mm-hmm.
In order to keep us happy. As you know, Saint Bernadette, I feel like I was just talking about this the other day too. I've been thinking about this, I guess, as I was writing this, but Jesus said you're going to have trouble in this world. You're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted on account of me. But be at peace and take courage, because I've conquered the world. Saint Bernadette, Our Lady said, when she was sick, very, very sick, as Saint Bernadette was, Our Lady appeared to her in 1858, I think it was, and that's where she in Lourdes uncovered the at the command of Our Lady, the waters, the miraculous waters of the Lourdes. And the story is just really quite fascinating to this day. The millions of people every year that who go to the Lourdes to bathe in the waters, and there are miraculous healings, but more often it's a spiritual healing that happens. And but for Bernadette, you know, she became a nun and a religious sister, a nun, I believe a cloistered nun. And she suffered terrible pain in many ways, because she was being constantly interrogated about the apparitions. The church is playing the devil's advocate, and then she has physical suffering. I think she died at the age of 36. But you know, when she was physically sick, the people wanted to take her to Lourdes, take her to the water. But she said, "No, the water is not for me." Our Lady said, "The water is not for me." And Our Lady told her, she says, "I cannot promise you happiness in this life." And isn't that a promise that comes to all of us?
Yeah.
I can't promise you happiness. Now, people who have happy lives, I mean, that's a beautiful thing. That's a great thing. But what we're talking about is living life in a deep way, so that what before would bring us happiness no longer brings us happiness, because it tends to be rather superficial or very superficial. But it's the deeper things that bring us the deepest joy, a joy that we can have even in our sufferings, even in even in the midst of the world's conflict. You know, there's so much, people are so disturbed, stressed out by what's happening in our nation, in the world, certainly even in many ways in the church. And there's a point we've got to rise above this by, in a sense, through prayer, ascending to God who is condescended. I tried to explain that in a moment. We got to take a break. I'm sorry. Are you with me on this? I feel like I'm just kind of going all over the place. But
it's good to have it. It's just what you were saying. It makes you think, and sometimes one thing leads to another.
Sure. Yeah. Well, let's see where it goes. Let's see where it leads, where it goes. Okay. So, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through eighth grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night, for your safety. We ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, And St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church. And a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loyal.
Another venerable sanctuary of positive male development has caved to the forces that seek to deny God's order of sexual complementarity. Boy Scouting is now just Scouting, as it has become mandatory for Boy Scouting to include girls and female Scout leaders. The same coup, however, has not befallen Girl Scouting, as they proudly reaffirm their mission to serve girls only. It is just another repeat of the Garden of Eden. Like Eve and the serpent, womanhood has fallen for another bad line. For men to develop into authentic men, capable of loving, protecting, cherishing, and serving womanhood, separateness is needed. Boys and men need venues in which males learn from other males how to be real men. Invading domains of proper male development neither serves or complements womanhood. It says that maleness is the standard, and unless women are wherever a man is at all times and in all things, womanhood has no intrinsic value of its own. It is also saying that the guys have put together a more desirable product than the girls. Why doesn't Girl Scouting suffice for the girls? The rules and standards do in fact change whenever girls are inserted into venues designed exclusively for male development. In the end, it is womanhood that is denied that authentic, fully developed male that God intended for her from the beginning.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Boy, Father Loya, I tell you, I wish I was so polished, you know, and profound as he explains that. So it's so true. Will we ever get back to that?
Probably never.
That proper ordering of life, you would just wonder. So I said, you know, Monday and Tuesday are, I think, my worst days of the week, because mm-hmm. because what I do is I'm trying to decipher this the message. You pray for this infused grace that God just, you know, just whisper in my ear everything I need to know, everything mm-hmm. I need to write, everything I need to say. And it never quite happens that way.
Unless you're not paying attention when he does.
Well, that could very well, and that's where, you know, my own
distractions,
right. You know, in the head and all that.
Right.
But I, so that it takes me back to this past week where I'm looking at these, that our faith in Christ is full of seeming contradictions. Now, this is, again, this is not for so much for those who simply accept, mm-hmm. you know, just I believe in Jesus. I believe in Our Lady's solicitous care for mm-hmm. for us, the sacraments. I'm just saying I do believe that.
Right.
But I'm saying many people, it suffices for them,
mm-hmm.
and it's. But I'm looking at. I use the word riddle. You know, the faith is seems like a riddle of sorts. While these answers are made known to us, we nonetheless expend this energy struggling through the questions and the doubts and the confusions and, of course, the mystery of it all. Because I hear this from people all the time. Because you say, "Well, you know, just believe, have faith." And but they, like you said, we overthink, or we are trying to be analytical.
I sometimes hear the opposite from people. I can't believe because I want to know. I want to know what that means.
Well, like those disciples who,
right.
You know, this is intolerable teaching. Mm-hmm. You know, that Jesus is going to feed us with his body and blood, and we can't. We can no longer be in the company of this mm-hmm. man. This doesn't make any sense. And so they walk away. But again, Peter says, when Jesus is to the 12, "Do you wish to go as well?" And Peter said, "Lord, where do we go? We believe you have the words of life everlasting." And so their whole walk with the Lord was they were being taught in word and in deed, in the deeds and the miracles of Jesus and his words. But even then, you know, Jesus said, you've been with me this long, and you still don't get it. You still don't understand. And he knew they wouldn't understand fully, and not until Pentecost, not until the church is born, when the apostles are infused with the Holy Spirit. But even then, you know, we've spent 2,000 years trying to. This is what theology is all about, and philosophy is trying to understand these beautiful mysteries. And so, one of the things that, and this is where I got kind of caught this week as I was reading the gospel that's going to be read on today and on Sunday. Well, first of all, you know, we know for certain we're going to die someday. We will pass on. And we will be, according to Scripture, we will be judged for what we did or did not do with the time allotted us in this world's exile in the Valley of Tears in this journey toward the homeland. Now, some people, they react when you say, well, the Valley of Tears or the worldly exile, because, you know, but for those of us who have faith and who understand the nature of the journey, we know that we can't settle in here. As much as we try, because there's always going to be that unrest. There's always going to be a desire for something more, and that something more should be God. And that's where we get frustrated, because we can't fully grasp. And again, there's those who have the beautiful, simple faith, who just they don't worry about that. And I have to say, quite honestly, too, you know, as I've gotten older, it's not so much. I don't even know that I trust my feelings, but it's the knowledge of God that is sufficient. Mm-hmm. Knowing that that you know we have a destiny, we've been redeemed. God is merciful, and we are going home. Everything beautiful in this world is nothing compared to what God has prepared for us, as Jesus said, And God is with us in this struggle. Because of the exile, I can't go to the chapel, and as much as I wish I didn't have to struggle to try to communicate what I feel in my soul. God is trying to bring me to understand and to communicate to the people, because I do get in the way, the distractions and all that. But these are things that we know that we're going to pass away sooner than later, and the world will pass away at a time known only to God. In the meanwhile, and this is hard for many people today to understand, as the Scripture says, Jesus reigns far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion, and he will put all things beneath his feet. He will remain head of his body, the church, come what may. Now, if we believe this, we, no wonder, we feel as strangers in a foreign land, even as we try to decipher the riddle or something, or seeming contradictions in the teachings of Jesus. And again, there's that faith, you know, that believing that he is the Lord of history. So as history seems to be passing through this diabolical disorientation, the fact is that that God is ultimately in charge, and it'll all work itself out one way or another. Many people will get hurt in the process, and we know this to be a fact because it's a historical reality. We may not see, you know. In fact, let's see if I just. Okay, so the contradictions are striking when you consider the Lord's parting words to the apostles before he ascended into heaven. This is, again, 40 days after the resurrection. And he said, go into the world, proclaim the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. In my name, you will drive out demons, speak new languages, pick up serpents, drink deadly things, and you will not be harmed. So the gospel for this Sunday, it's like I sit with that and I say, okay, what does all this mean? And what about and people have been asking these questions all along, you know, but what about those who are not baptized but are God-fearing people, if through no fault of their own, they will come to know. I mean, if they in their heart and their mind, and I know I just talked to somebody yesterday, believe it or not, who just even though he spoke about God, this is a Muslim man, but even as he spoke about God, I thought, you know, how beautiful the sincerity and the simplicity with which he spoke about God and the need to live a virtuous life. Now, through no fault of his own, he doesn't know Jesus. He's not baptized. But if he dies, again, through no fault of his own, he will, having lived a good life, a God-centered life, he will come to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that Jesus is the only door by which we have access to the kingdom, that Jesus is the Redeemer, he is the Savior, he is the Messiah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but it's funny, you tapped into another thing that I have trouble understanding, but you explained it well, and I believe that myself. When you hear this about our faith, I think about people that just, like you said, no fault of their own. How, you know, how do you then justify, well, okay, you don't know Jesus, how then do you go to heaven? And really, like you said, I believe that the Lord will make known to these people, to anyone that doesn't know.
Well, see, that's why, so we're chosen from among the people to bear witness to Christ. And if we've done a very poor job of that, in other words, many people perhaps reject Christianity or reject Christ or reject the church based on, you know, our poor witness.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really grace, right? It's really faith that brings us, grace that brings us to faith in Christ Jesus. And that's why we have an obligation, an awesome obligation, to allow ourselves to be purged, transformed, and sanctified. So that I pray this every day, you know, don't let me get in the way. Don't let me be an impediment or a barrier to others knowing you. And yet I know my own imperfections, and I know that, and I feel like a very weak instrument in the hand of God in many ways, because I'm not a polished speaker. I'm not an organized thinker. I've got all kinds of stuff going on in my head. But most of it is grappling with the mystery, because I do know myself to be a priest, and that I have the obligation to communicate the faith. Now, going back to this, there's only one Savior. There is no other Savior. Jesus is not a God among gods. Jesus is the incarnate God. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity. There's only one God, three persons in one God. And Jesus is the only way. So nobody has access to the Father, to heaven, but through Jesus Christ. Nobody. But again, those who live faith in God, because we're all created by God. We're created by God for God. But so those who take that seriously and strive to live with that faith. And I know many people like that who are not Catholic or not Christian, but I just happened to speak to this one guy, with this one man yesterday. I think it's a great, wonderful thing that we have. You want people to know and to love and to serve Jesus, to understand what Jesus, you know, that God laid down his life. But again, it falls on us to want to live with authenticity,
mm-hmm.
our faith, especially at this time, like when there's so much information and you get all the, you know, how the devil works to try to distort, deceive, seduce, create the illusion, accuse, or snatch, you know, coming as a wolf in the clothing of a sheep So this is a battle that has been going on from the very beginning, and so that's why the church the church needs saints. You know, we need to be disposed for sanctification, which means we have to go through the purgation, the transformation, and the sanctification. But in any case, I know I'm all over the place and we're running out of time, but and we'll continue with this tomorrow, but go into the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. In my name, you will drive out demons, speak new languages, pick up serpents, drink deadly things, and you will not be harmed. Now, I read that too, and even in Luke's gospel, Jesus says, "Behold, I have given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you." And he says twice, "Nothing will harm you." Yet we know that if you pick up a serpent, you're going to get bit. And if you step on a scorpion, you're going to get stung. So are we spared harm? No, we're not. And Jesus, this is how do you communicate this? Mm-hmm. Jesus says, no, pick up your cross and follow me. You're going to be hated on account of my name. You're going to have trouble in this world. Fear not those who kill the body, but cannot, fear not those who can kill the body, but fear, yes, rather, those who can kill the soul. As I open the show, I, your brother, share with you the distress, the kingdom, the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. The saints in heaven, who are these? Where have they come from? Well, these are the ones who survived the trial and tribulation. They were washed in the blood of the Lamb. They took part in the Eucharistic sacrifice. They offered their lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord, their spiritual worship. But the key to all this is, so when Jesus says, and this is this comes up on Sunday as well, do not rejoice because you have power over evil spirits and deadly things, but that your names are written in heaven. And because, again, we're on the way. In this world, we're going to... So maybe, you know, this idea of if you look at life as a constant battle, it's a growing, purging experience in the nature of the world to wound us, you know. So there's, in a metaphorical way, we're dealing with, you know, the demons and the serpents and the scorpions and, you know, the poison, you know, how often people speak about this environment is very toxic or that person is very toxic, you know, but if I'm grounded in God and I allow Jesus to abide within me and I nurture that intimacy with the Lord, then I have the grace to endure the toxicity of life, the evils of life, the darkness of this world, the contradictions of life, because I'm grounded in Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And we'll have to get into this maybe tomorrow, but it brings me back to the necessity of prayer, which is a coming away from the world and trusting my life to the Lord, surrendering my life to Christ, recommitting myself to the Lord in order to have the grace, the strength, the know-how to be back in, to get back into the work of life and to suffer the things of this world, but claiming victory and to not lose that interior peace. Wow, we're out of that hour went
time
pretty
went
fast.
Fast.
And, hope you were able to follow me there, but we'll come back tomorrow and pick up on this. Didn't even get into Our Lady of Fatima. So, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see?